I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today on another one of our SysTech podcast series. I am Steve Talent from SysTech's Product Management Department, and I am thrilled today to be joined by Damian Vasquez, the leader of our Standards and Architecture Group at SysTech. And Damian, this is your first podcast, so I'd like the audience to kind of know a little bit about yourself. You've been at SysTech for quite a while, and what I find most interesting is that you've held a number of different roles at SysTech, starting out in field projects, implementing our solutions, working with our customers to put serialization and other packaging line solutions together. So can you just give maybe a 1 minute kind of backdrop on how you ended up, you know, working through the ranks of our field teams and then into our standards and architecture group?
Sure, Stephen. It's a pleasure to be here. So I've been at SysTech now for about 13 years. I started in their quality department at first, testing all of the features and functions in our current software capabilities. And then I moved over to deployment services where I worked as a project engineer for about 5 or 6 years. Went out in the field, saw a lot of the different packaging lines and different machinery and different use cases that we were deploying into. And then eventually I moved into my current role now where I'm the leader of standards and architecture, where basically I manage a team that comes up with all the different deployment packages and solutions to meet the various use cases that we come across on the packaging line.
So with that experience, it leads, I think, directly to what we want to talk about today, which is one of the realities of pharmaceutical serialization projects, which is the need to fit into the ongoing validation process of pharmaceutical manufacturing lines. And to kind of kick things off, why is it important to consider validation when installing serialization?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that, Steve. A lot of times when I'm meeting with customers and talking about a new solution, validation actually comes up very frequently in those discussions. However, when you get towards the implementation of the project, it is often overlooked. And the reason for that is serialization projects can be very complex. Typically, you have a lot of multiple cross-functional teams that are kind of involved that haven't really worked together before in the past. So think of departments like production, IT, supply chain leads, engineering. These departments typically don't work together, and now for a serialization project, they're kind of required to kind of all work together. If you add the combination of if you're installing new packaging equipment on your line, that could also make the project very lengthy, right? So if you think about it, a fully automated case packer, typically lead times are anywhere between 9 months to a year for that machine to get built. So during this time, because we're all engineers, we're really deeply involved in the design of the system and trying to make sure that we meet all the requirements. But only near the end of the project now does validation get focused. And now there's kind of a rush to be able to write and execute all these protocols in a very short time frame. And from what I've seen, this typically leads to protocol errors or project delays. So what you really want to be doing is you want to be making sure that you consider validation very early on in the project to kind of avoid these pitfalls. Usually you could perform your validation activities in parallel with your design activities as well.
So you touched on it a little bit, but, and I think this is critical to what you're saying. Can you comment a little bit more directly on who needs to understand validation and why?
Sure, Steve. So of course the manufacturers need to understand validation because it's a regulatory requirement. But they should also be looking to work with vendors that and suppliers that also understand validation as well. The reason for this is it's going to simplify your validation process and reduce your validation efforts when you're looking to install the serialization solution on the line. When you work with vendors that have a full understanding of validation, you're going to get a solution that's been designed with validation in mind. And a majority of the time, you're going to be able to take the vendor documentation that's provided to you and leverage that in your validation, reducing the amount of documentation or effort you need to do to complete your validation activities. So for example, if you're working with a vendor that has a structured release lifecycle for their product, the validation required when you take that product and put it onto your packaging line is going to be significantly less because you can leverage their processes that they're following to meet GAMP. This is opposed to if you were just taking product that was specifically developed for your packaging line, all of the different test cases that you need to do to make sure that the system is in full control is going to be significantly more.
So that's essentially saying that there is no one size fits all of validation. There are different levels of how much validation you have to do with, kind of in our case, looking at our off-the-shelf configurable software serialization solution versus pure custom solutions.
That's a good point, Steve. So the amount of validation required, I like to look at it in three factors, right? So number one is you have your regulatory requirements, which kind of act as the guidance to the industry in terms of what should be, how validation should be done. It's more of a guidance. It's kind of generic. Then you kind of have the industry standards or expectations. So for example, the terms IQ, OQ, and PQ are not specifically required in 21 CFR. However, industry created these terms to package the documentation for validation. And now today, it's recognized as a validation best practice. In addition, the level of validation needs to be determined by your company. So as part of your validation philosophy, you would determine how much validation you need when you install a certain type of system on your line. So it's really a combination of the all three. And again, as an example, if you're looking at a solution that's kind of an off-the-shelf solution, you may consider that lower risk and require less validation as opposed to a custom piece of software. And of course, all of these different philosophies for validation that your company follows should be documented in your validation master plan.
One of the things that I like that a lot, and one of the things that I learned a lot when we were talking about planning this podcast, you know, for somebody like myself who really didn't know much about what validation is and was, you kind of think of that just the term validation almost equates to a one-time event. But in talking to you in preparation for this podcast, validation is really a life cycle of events, a circle, if you will, of ongoing things to keep lines validated, right? So it's a process, not sort of a one-time event. Can you talk through what the pieces to that validation puzzle are?
So there are several phases of the validation process. So for example, your most important validation process is the validation master planning, which is basically outlining and defining which processes and equipment are to be validated, the priority that you want to validate that equipment, and who is responsible for the validation process. The second part of validation is the qualification. So you have your design qualification, which is verifying that the machine has met all the design requirements. You have your installation qualification, which is making sure that the system and the solution is installed per the specification. You have your operational qualification, which is basically verifying that the system is operating per the manufacturer specifications. And finally, you have your performance qualification, which is making sure that the system is performing per the user requirements. Once the system is qualified, then there is a series of activities that need to take place over the life cycle of that equipment. So for example, there's document management, there's change management, there's procedures that need to be updated, there's training that needs to occur for the operators that are going to use that equipment. And of course, there needs to be maintenance procedures that need to be in place as well.
That really was eye-opening for me again, coming to it, you know, sort of naively, and now understanding better about the whole process. Now, one of the things that we have done at SysTech with our customers' need to become compliant with global regulations like the EU-FMD and the USA DSCSA is we've put out different pieces and podcasts on, you know, what are the things you need to avoid, the difficulties, things like that, just kind of from our best practice approach. Now, having been in software product management for quite a while, I have a feeling I know you're going to how you're going to answer this question. But can you speak to a couple items or difficulties that manufacturers will have with validation?
Sure. So the number one mistake I typically see is an inadequate definition of system requirements. So if you think about it, a lot of these manufacturers are under great pressure to get their serialization systems in place and running. And a lot of the time, and rightfully so, the efforts are concentrated on meeting deadlines, meeting budgets. And this is where kind of serialization projects could kind of fall off the rails a little bit. The truth is for a serialization project to be successful, you do need a good set of user requirements to lay the foundation for the stakeholders in your organization, and also to provide vendors what functionality you require. So if you do a good job with your requirements, you're going to be able to save your organization from costly rewrite, revalidation, and retraining efforts. And I always like to say this, that remember the user requirements are the basis for all the test protocols that you're going to use during the qualification of the system. So without documenting your requirements, how are you going to be able to test them? Another kind of snafu that I see during qualification is trying to optimize the system performance while you're validating. So if you're doing your validation and you're having too many deviations, the system is trying to tell you something, right? It's trying to tell you that you're not in control. So what you want to do is you want to stop and make adjustments, right? So what I would say is, so you're not put in that position, you should always be dry running your test protocols prior to the formal execution of the validation. That way it kind of avoids a scenario where you're having to stop, make modifications, write deviations. So you want to make sure that you're planning ahead to be able to dry run those test protocols to avoid that scenario. A couple of other things I see as well is just poor protocols being developed. So this is typically done when there are protocols being written by individuals who just do not understand the full requirements of the system or the capabilities, and also just poor planning, which I'll get to a little bit later.
Well, I do have to admit that the requirements gathering phase was definitely the item that I was thinking of, you know, requirements your overall system design. Because as you well know, if you find something during, you know, just essentially pen to paper requirements gathering, that cost will be 1x essentially to fix it. But if you go through a project and you're nearing the end of a project and you find a flaw in your requirement, you know, you're talking about a 10x to a 20x cost to an overall project to fix something down the line. So on the flip side of the coin of what are the difficulties, let's talk about what are the key success factors to a successful validation process.
Right. And I think that there's four key steps that you could follow to kind of make validation a little bit smoother process as you're installing these serialization systems. So number one, you want to make sure that you get validation involved very early on in the process. So as I mentioned earlier, typically you have all of these different cross-functional teams working together at the beginning of the project, you know, like I said, engineering, IT, production. You want to make sure that you have members of your validation team in there as well. And the reason being is, you know, they need to be aware of all of the activities that are going to be taking place. So they could start planning their activities in parallel as well. So we kind of avoid that pitfall where once the system is installed or being ready to install, now you're having to take on all your validation activities. Number two, you want to make sure that you specify systems with validation in mind, right? So when you're looking at different systems, different platforms, different vendors, you want to make sure that you're installing a system that's going to allow for the very easy and reduction of validation when it's time to kind of write and execute those protocols. Number three, we just mentioned you want to make sure you define those user requirements and specifications up front. That way it's very clear as to what the system needs to deliver, and it's very clear as to how to test to make sure that the system is delivering what it should. And number four, you really want to look at integrating commissioning activities with validation. Sometimes in the past, what I've seen is if you're installing or if a manufacturer is installing a solution, all of the activities that take place in terms of testing. So, for example, you know, at the FAT, all the testing that occurs at the FAT, and then when the system moves on site, all the testing that occurs during the SAT. A lot of those tests are actually end up being very redundant to qualification tests that occur. So what you want to do is instead of rerunning the same test again, which seems very redundant, you may want to leverage those commissioning tests in your qualification. So instead of doing the same installation checks for your IQ, maybe your IQ documentation and testing just references the testing that occurred at the FAT, as long as you were there and present to see it. So you just want to look at things like that to make sure that you're not doing any sort of redundant work and effort in the qualification process.
I like that. That's really good stuff. And so let's put all of what you've talked about together, and as sort of vendor neutral as we can, what should the marketplace be looking for in a serialization vendor, especially as it relates to the requirement of validation?
Right. So if you think about it, like I mentioned earlier, manufacturers are under great pressure to comply with these regulations. But achieving compliance does come with its own set of business challenges. So if you think about it, these manufacturers have had their supply chains validated. They've been running for, you know, a decade, maybe even more, and they've invested millions of dollars into, you know, fine-tuning those supply chains. So now there's a requirement to comply with these new regulations, which requires them to make large investments in serialization technologies, and also could change some of your business processes as well. So it's critical that when you're looking to deploy serialization, that you're looking for a platform that is flexible, scalable, and easily deployable. You want to look for a vendor that produces off-the-shelf products and doesn't rely on customized or made-to-order components. And the reason for this is the benefits of deploying configurable rather than customized software are very well documented, and especially in an environment where requirements may change. You want to really look at software that can accommodate those changes via configuration. Vice versa, looking at customized solutions, they could be very rigid, which means that when those requirements do change and you do need to make adjustments, you need to bring in vendors again and re-engage them, and that could really end up incurring expensive rewrite, revalidation, and retraining efforts.
So that's excellent, I think, vendor-neutral perspectives. But because you have been in the field, directly working with our customers in implementing, designing, you know, upfront, and putting together comprehensive serialization solutions. And now you're sort of on the inside in terms of documenting the best practices of deploying our solutions. Let's take advantage of that fact, okay? Put back on your SysTech hat, if you will. And if you can talk about how we have software and project elements that will make our customers need to validate and have that validation stamp and work that ongoing validation process, how we actually do things.
Sure. So here at SysTech, we understand how important validation is for the clients in these regulated industries. Our approach has been to provide clients with off-the-shelf software that is considered category 4, which is a configured product. Our configurable software is designed with elements that can be reassembled and realigned to quickly accommodate the changing demands of the regulations. We're able to do this through our patented IPS engine technology, which allows any serialization workflow to be configured using an easy-to-use drag-and-drop interface. This allows for our products to quickly adapt to support those changing and emerging regulations. And it also offers the manufacturers the flexibility to adapt to new regulations without extensive rework or revalidation costs. So that's our software. In addition, we also provide other facets to kind of accompany that software. So for example, we have structured release cycles, and each time that SysTech offers a new release, we provide detailed release notes with a validation impact assessment for each new feature or function in that release. This allows our clients to be able to quantify the read validation effort for an upgrade by identifying a set of tests required for their revalidation effort. We've also packaged up our software into modules that can be delivered to meet all of the different packaging scenarios and serialization requirements that we can encounter out in the packaging landscape. Our solutions library today has over 250 serialization workflows that meet all types of different packaging operations. As part of that, as part of those prepackaged modules, you get a documentation package, which includes an IOQ test protocol. These test protocols reduce the effort to develop because you can basically use them out of the box, and also the amount of time to execute because there'll be less deviations because the SMEs or the experts of the software are providing that functionality for you. And they're also very modular. So you could take these test protocols and you could embed them into your validation protocols, or you could reuse them at various stages of the process. So you could use them at FATs, at IQs, OQs, and et cetera. In addition, we also provide a traceability matrix. So our SysTech requirements traceability matrix provides out-of-the-box mapping from our SysTech design and functional specifications to our test scripts. So this eliminates the tedious task of having the manufacturer go through all of our documentation and having to map these endpoints themselves. It also eliminates risk by ensuring that our test scripts are going to cover all the areas and functions in our software. In essence, there are not going to be any testing gaps. And it only really requires the client to do a one-time mapping to their global URS. So a lot of our clients, what they're doing is they're taking their global serialization URS, they're mapping that to our SysTech traceability matrix, and then they can use it going forward out of the box. Now, I did mention earlier that it is very important to have requirements for your project, right? To make sure that there's a full understanding as to, you know, what it is that you expect for a system. We have worked with some clients who don't have the serialization knowledge, and that they're not really sure what should go into a serialization solution. So those clients also are not exempt from having requirements. It's also best practice to have those requirements. So we do offer generic URS requirements for levels 1 through 4 to assist those clients that don't have the serialization experience to be able to create the URS on their own. And of course, these requirements map, you know, map 100% to our traceability matrix. And then we do offer an extended validation package via our partners. With this extended validation package, you could offer services as a group or a la carte, and we offer things like a validation master plan, if you need a risk assessment, performance qualification, or even a customized requirements traceability matrix that maps specifically to your URS. So this is typically ideal for clients that don't have a dedicated validation team. They'll lean on us to be able to offer those validation services through our partners.
Well, we have covered a gigantic amount of ground in a short amount of time. We've looked into how serialization impacts the pharmaceutical manufacturing validation process. We've looked at the various elements of validation, the things that could cause problems. I think the key critical success factors to a validation project, on to some of the ways that SysTech, from our best practices approach, has solved a lot of the issues for our customers in terms of addressing serialization in their overall validation process. So I think that's great. And I think that the information here is quite vital, especially as vendors, to what you alluded to, those who may not know exactly how to get serialization going, may not be incredibly familiar with the validation process even, how we're able to help them, especially as we are coming up against November 2018 with the U.S. DSCSA and the February 2019 date of the EU FMD going live. So this is great information, Damien. I can't thank you enough for joining us on the podcast today and bringing this to us. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.